Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 9 of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is Amy Hackett-Jones, your host for today, and I'm a happiness and high performance coach, and I focus on being brilliant, hence the name of the show. So the show really focuses on how you, our listeners, can be brilliant and how you could ignite your life and shine. It's a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, my listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. And my guests bring a combination of ancient wisdom teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated with actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best versions of yourselves. My interviewees are typically high performers, thought leaders, game changers, soul activators, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, as well as friends and family. Those who, in my eyes, live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their light so others may do the same. Yes, that's you. So today, I would like to welcome onto the show a very, very dear friend of mine, whom I met in Panama a few short years ago. This is Teresa Martinez, okay? And Teresa is just the most beautiful, soulful, wonderful person I have had the privilege of coming to know. She's an expert and soul-focused, she's an expert coach and focuses on healing and really looking, taking a deeper look at how we, you know, particularly in troubled times, which we'll go into in just a moment, how we can really step beyond and step into a sense of peace and into healing the things that we're going through in the moment. So welcome, Teresa. Hello and welcome.
Hi, thank you, Amy. It's wonderful to be here with you.
My pleasure. So as many people will know listening to this show today, my mother passed away last week. She had been, I won't say battling cancer, she had been courageously challenging cancer for about 9 years. And she caught pneumonia last Sunday, and 3 days later, on Wednesday, she took her last breath. And I just thought that Teresa would be the most perfect person to interview at this time. We are actually having the funeral tomorrow, so we have all the family gathered. My mother was from New Zealand, so we have her sister here at the moment, as well as one of my cousins and his wife. So it's a very special time. It might be a bit tearful, this interview, so you have been warned. So I'd just like to address really why I've connected with Teresa at this point particularly. Now, she did come to visit, was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, something like that?
It was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. She came to visit and spent time with my mum as well. So I'd just like to allow Teresa to talk a little bit about that and her experience of being here in Suffolk and of being with mum before we then move into the next stage of the interview. So, Teresa, up to you.
Thank you, Amy, for the nice welcome again. And it is my honor and pleasure to share, you know, with you on your brilliance radio here, that I get to now express my gratitude for the journey that I've had in life and learning along the way. But I was returning, entering into England from Scotland from a beautiful goddess kind of woman's retreat, and I was able to integrate right into the beautiful hands of Amy in her home, you know, where her mother and stepfather reside. And it was such a treat to have a few days to acclimate and to center myself, as well as to see your experience of to supporting a family member, a loved one, and your mother in hospice. And the 3 days that we got to travel to go to hospice, it was, you know, such a touching place in my life, because we all have family members or friends that have passed on through many different scenarios, through accidents, through illness, and through sudden, you know, kind of passings. And to be able to spend that time in the hospice where your mother was very interesting as a healer, as I'm aware of the energy in spaces and environments as well. So I was able to tune in to the energy of this room where there was about 5 patients that were there, and your mother's little cubicle area was the most brilliant of light and with like the essence within her. And I have met your mother many years before, maybe about 6-7 years prior in Panama. But to remember her, as I shared, you know, 3 weeks ago with her, just tuning in on a spiritual level, which I tend to do in energy healing and energy mastery, we learn to connect from our heart to our soul, to their heart, to their higher self, to the environment. And there was such a beauty that your mother was radiating from within as I gazed eyes, because that's the opportunity to allow the souls to connect. And I could just feel her willingness to fly, but it was her spirit that was so strong that I hadn't really felt with somebody else when I actually had some eye-to-eye soul-gazing activities and some of the other exercises that we've done. It was a treat to see her smile on her little face, and knowing that maybe her body wasn't as comfortable and she was not in ease at different times. But regardless what the outer body was showing, the inner self was just radiant. And she would just give me this beautiful smile that allowed me to touch the inside of her heart and connect to her soul. And there was this beautiful merging that was happening and sharing that it felt, you know, kind of beyond words, and it's not something that we normally do. But it was a very special time that I felt with your mom, and I honor that, because not knowing what was going to take place, you know, I knew it, that would probably be the last time that I would see your mother, and it feels really nice, Amy, to be able to be there to support your mom in that connection. And there was a lot of beauty with, you know, her support team, her spiritual support team, the angels and the guides, and just a lot of love. And that's really what it comes down to, is what I remember from the loss of loved ones. It's really the love that holds that connection together in the heart, on a soul level, in the mind. It's the love that we share, then that's an eternal experience that will never be forgotten and will never disappear. The body disappears, the mind can shift, but it's that love, the frequency of love, that it's so everlasting. So I feel very, again, very grateful for that opportunity to share with your mom and to have that experience with you at such a time like this, that, you know, it's honoring you for who you are, being the daughter, and the support for the rest of the family. But you carry such a light, and it's the love that helped her move on into, you know, her transitionary pain, and it's through the vibration of love.
Wow, thank you so much. And I'm really glad you shared that, because it was such a special time that that I was able to share with you, and you were able to open my eyes as well to things that perhaps Mum was going through at that time. And I remember at one point, probably about when you were here, it was, she said to me at one point, nothing matters anymore. And I thought, and not in a morbid way at all, but she'd come to a sense of peace. And I actually spoke about this in my TED talk that I did, TEDx talk I did back in 2014, because I had read about this and I'd studied and I'd asked a lot of people about this thing that when you get to that stage in life, you drop all the stresses and the worries and everything else, and you actually come to a state of peace almost beyond all understanding, in a sense. It's just our innate sense. When we take away all the stresses and worries and woes of the world, you get to that sense of peace. And she got there. And I'm so happy she did. That meant a huge amount to me. And I know that with your presence there as well, her eyes light up as she connected with you. And it was a really, really very special moment. So I wanted to expand upon this subject with you a bit, because I know you had an experience with your brother which was really sort of the catalyst for this journey for you, this journey to soul-focused healing. So tell our audience just a little bit more about that and how this came about for you.
Okay. It was such an interesting experience of, you know, the shift of the phases when you have a family member, a loved one. My late brother, Gregory, you know, was diagnosed with cancer, and about 4 years of, you know, remission, and then another tumor. And I was very fortunate to be with him at the time that he passed, just within moments of him taking his last breath. And this happened and occurred in Panama. In a hospital, which was in 1997. So it was quite a while back that this took place, but it was a life-changing experience for everyone when we do have a loss, whether it's financial, physical, you know, whether it's emotional, whether it's, you know, something. We go through our own mourning and our own experience to grieve, but a loved one is, it's very, it's like the waves. They come and they go. There's some peaceful times and then there's some intense times, because it's the healing of the heart and the loss and just that detachment in some form. But I always felt as though I had a connection with my brother, and he was the eldest of the five children in my family, and he always kind of looked after us, and he was a big brother to me. And I remember I could feel his spirit coming immediately after, you know, he had passed. And so I kind of tuned in and I started paying attention to how the signals were, or the signs, the little messages, and how things would light up, or how the candles would get blown out, or how the light would sparkle or kind of like dim and brighten. It's like, okay, I learned the messages from him, realized that I was connected. And within about a year and a half after that, I was in New York City and readjusting my life. I left Panama and started over. And I wasn't really sure what to do, where to go. Being in a corporate background, I said, no, I didn't really want to go back into that. And I was working in one field with children and gymnastics and teaching, that I was like, okay, this is not really sustaining me financially. And I went to this New York holistic and spiritual wellness conference. And it was completely brand new for me, and I was kind of like in shock in many ways, and unfamiliar therapies, modalities, psychics, mediums, products, and just, it was almost like a circus in some way to me, because I had never experienced anything like that. So I saw some people doing something over their body, laying on a massage table, and I asked, what are you doing? And they're like, we're doing energy healing. I said, well, what is that? And they said, well, we work with the energy body. Would you like a free session? I said, okay, 10 minutes free session, sure. I put my name on, I waited an hour, I come back, 10 minutes, changed my life, which I'm so grateful for, even though it was loud and busy in that energy of the conference, you know, kind of room. I had beginning to see visions, and colors, which I had never, you know, been exposed to that before. And there were sacred symbols, gold colors, pyramids turning into an eye. And then as I received like an opening in my heart because of the healing that they were doing, clearing out the emotional and the heart center, I then saw the vision of my brother. Gregory appeared to me, so he's looking at me. I'm like, my heart is open, and I'm just in awe, and I start to tear because he has never appeared to me in a vision before, and he was basically saying, pay attention. And I said, wow, okay, I'm awake, I'm ready. I don't know what I, you know, what am I ready for, what am I awake for? And then that's when I got the tap on the shoulder saying, you know, your session is complete, and I thought I had went into some time warp for like, you know, days, and I come back and I said, whatever you've done to me, I feel so much better because I was coming out of a broken relationship that I had relocated from Florida to New Jersey, and that pain was, that heaviness was no longer there. That rock was off my weight, that weight was off my chest, and I felt so free. And then to have the confirmations from the visions was another sign and a message saying, pay attention. Something is here for you to be present to open up the doorway. And so then I was in awe, and many other messages that day led me to realize that, you know, I'm ready to make a shift in my life, and I'm going to study energy healing. It took me a little bit of time to then relocate back to Florida, where then I chose, after investigating several other schools out there, Barbara Brennan, and I chose to study with Deborah Mills through a system of esoteric and energy healing called soul-focused healing, which is a very scientific anatomical feel system that works through the chakras and the meridians and it interfaces into the glands, the organs, the systems of the body. So it supports and helps prevent very much the physical body. It's not so much about the energy and the emotions and the mind. It really works with the basics of having a healthy, maintaining physical body, because we do need to have, you know, vibrance of energy coming in to sustain, you know, all of our organs and our glands to keep functioning as a healthy body, as well as, you know, understanding then the energetic components of our emotions and our minds help contribute to more stresses, whether that's in our current situation or it's something that we picked up when we were younger and we were influenced from our environment. And then learning how once those begin to balance the body, the mind, the heart, then we can dive into the beauty and the essence of the spiritual, you know, frequency that we are made of. It's a matrix of energy that we are comprised of, you know, like this aura of energy holds so many different components. So it's learning a little bit at a time about the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual so that we can bring more balance to those parts gently and lovingly and compassionately, you know, with ourselves each step, each day, each, you know, time we're ready to give that back to ourselves.
Yeah, and it's so important. The more, you know, the more I have, you know, I spent these last 2 years at home taking care of mom, and when I was in Panama, my nickname became the Peace Whisperer. Because I just had a calm sense about me, and yet I knew nothing of everything that we've talked about and what you've just explained to our listeners. And what I've learned from you in our conversations and the time that I've spent with you over the years is really this. It's one thing to sort of just have a calm sense, you know, demeanor, but it's another thing to delve a whole lot deeper to all these different layers of who we are as beings, human beings, but not just the physical, but the other dimensions as well. And I know that I shared with my mother quite a bit over the last couple of years about little tools and techniques of how to just let things go, how to be just not let things wear away at you and cause you stress and things like that. And so this, you know, you take this to a whole new level, which I just find fascinating. It's something I want to start studying at some point soon too. So I guess my next question then leading into this would be, how would you, I mean, I saw you physically working with my mother when you were here for those 3 days, but how would you start to work with somebody? Like if somebody came to you and or you noticed somebody was particularly stressed, or perhaps they were ill in some way, what would be your first sort of initial steps to help people come to understand the sort of work that you do?
There's many different, you know, techniques and modalities that I've learned outside of the esoteric system of healing. And the main thing that I feel so fortunate to do is always look at those four components of my life, my body. And, you know, how am I taking care of my body? You know, with the lifestyle, the intake of food, how do I deal with the stress? What is my environment like? What am I taking, you know, what am I doing to contribute to a healthy, wholesome body? And then the next is like, what am I, you know, what am I doing to address my mind? Because the mind.
I think I've lost you. Are you there, Teresa? Hello, I think we've lost her. Okay, so what I'm going to do for the now, whilst I try and get Teresa back, is Teresa chose a wonderful song by Olivia Newton-John, Who Would Believe? It's called Instrument of Peace. Olivia Newton-John, I thought she just sang along in Greece with John Travolta, but she has had a very, very full career ever since Greece. So I'm just going to play the song and hope that we can reconnect with Teresa when she, after, you know, doing the song. So here we are, Instrument of Peace by Olivia Newton-John. Here we go.
Not to be seen, but to
That's a beautiful song, Instrument of Peace, so St. Francis Prayer. This is Teresa.
You're back.
I'm back. Thank you.
Yay. Wonderful.
I apologize for that little mishap there. Incoming,
for sure.
Sometimes things like that happen. This song, just listening to again, brings back the same tingles, the warmth, the flow of the energy that I connected to this song many, many years ago. And I actually had this song on my phone as an alarm for me to tune out in my busy schedule so I could just be a channel through the breath and take a moment to stop my busyness so I could just be present with myself, because it does something to me, the words, the symbology of how, you know, we can be that for life, for spirit, for God, the creator, to allow us to channel through us. And that's not only for others, but for our own heart, for our own cellular structure, for our own transformation, for our own peace. And it has, you know, it would be at such a powerful time to heal my heart at times of loss, at a powerful time when I know I'm going to help others that are going through, you know, trying times or suffering or sorrow, as well as other times for healing, to really bring in, like, let me be that instrument, you know, and let me get out of the way of my mind and my so-called agenda of what Teresa wants to do, to then I know nothing, I am nothing, but I am everything in this moment, as I just surrender and open to the greater me, to the greater power of life to flow through me, to do whatever it is that I'm here to do. Again, no agenda of me trying to figure it out, to make it happen through my will. As they say, let go and let God, another beautiful song that Olivia sings on this album, you know, to then just be an open channel, an open, you know, conduit of this flowing life. And it's very powerful when you remove your mind, you know, from the structure of how we've had to be organized and you know, responsible and planning and doing in so many ways, to then letting go so that we can just be. And this song was a representation of that, and it still is. And I hope this song touches people's lives in many ways, because it is a very transformative song. It's
so beautiful. And you shared that with me, I think it was the day after Mum passed away. And it's from the album Grace and Gratitude, which was released in 2010. And I'd, like I said just before the song, I'd never heard, I just thought Olivia Newton-John sang Grease. And she actually had cancer too, and she's gone through an incredible transformation herself, and reached a state of peace. And this is coming back to what Mum said, nothing matters anymore. It was just that state of peace that she reached prior to moving on, and it was such an incredible moment for me to hear her say that. To let her, you know, to really feel and see that she'd let go of all the stresses and strains of day-to-day life. And it was such an eye-opener for me to really live and embody and be, like she says, an instrument of peace. So I would really recommend anybody go and listen to Grace and Gratitude, the album. It's absolutely phenomenal. It's very, it's a real tearjerker of an album. and it can be downloaded on iTunes and Amazon, or wherever you download your music, buy and download your music from. So thank you so much for sharing that. And it really has been a comfort over the last 10 days.
It's a beautiful album that I have recommended to many friends and clients when they are going through an emotional time, because, as you said, it's a tearjerker. It opens your heart. And it helps you with the messages of her words and the songs help you just tune out your story and listen, and then that there is a transmission that happens, you know, that when you hear her beautiful voice and how it's mixed in with these prayers and these dedications to healing, because she was in a medical, you know, sensitive place with cancer, breast cancer, and how she was able to shift her perspective, because that is what it takes sometimes to be able to have a wake-up call, whether it's an accident, whether it's a message from somebody, whether it's, you know, a life-changing experience, to have that wake-up call, not only for the individual, but for all those that are involved with that individual. Like my brother had the wake-up call, and he gave us messages that, you know, it's like, why are you so worried, Teresa, about this, you know, work and the stress you put on yourself? How he used to say, you need to enjoy life a lot more than worrying about those things. And he used to say, you know, think, make the best of your day, because you never know when is your last day. And so hearing him say these things to me before he passed on was such a transformational perspective for me to live the rest of my life. Make the best of your everyday. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the big things. Worry, you know, focus and enjoy the little things of life, because those are where you're going to receive so much more joy and happiness from, rather than worrying about the big things, because they're always going to be there. But, you know, he just was that perfect reminder, you know, and because it hit so strong, because he's about to continue his journey leaving his body. It's like, what do we get from those last, you know, few weeks and, you know, time before he left, are these messages, because they do have a shift of like, I don't really care about my job as much. I love my family, and I just want to, you know, be with my family a little bit more. So it was a very special transformational time, and, you know, hopefully this album and the beautiful song can support you out there, you know, on your journey, each step of the way.
Wonderful. So if anybody would like to call in to ask Teresa a question, the number, if you're in the States, is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. If you're connected with me on Facebook, you can send me a Facebook message, private message, and I will get that if you have a question. So when I was writing about this blog, writing the blurb, so to speak, about this radio show, we were looking at what can our listeners take away from you, Teresa, and your infinite wisdom and your sense of peace. So we came up with the first point was how to use the breath for new energy to let go of the stress, pain, or thoughts or emotions. And before you answer that question, I've actually had a caller just come on the line. So let me just see who this is. Just a moment. Hello, who do we have on the line?
I'll call back.
Okay. All right. So how to use the breath in new energy to let go of the stress, pain, or thoughts or emotions that we're going through at any point. So how would you teach that? What would you recommend?
Somewhat what I was beginning to share before I was kind of removed from the call was, everyone has a different, you know, condition and state of being in their life, and we all have stresses. We all have challenging times, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. So there's many ways that I like to approach, you know, what is the best way to assist somebody, and it's first listening to them and hearing And tuning in, besides just hearing, active listening is like tuning in and opening up my heart so my heart can sense their heart. What is it that they are truly needing, even though they might be verbally telling me something of their story? It's like, let me begin to use my senses through my heart, so it's beyond the mind, and then I can, you know, support them energetically, heart to heart, and then I like to connect soul to soul so that it's even beyond my mind, that there's a beautiful connection that's happening on a soul level. There's so many different beautiful, you know, philosophies out there and therapies and tools and techniques that help us get through stressful times, to help us get through the life's challenges, the life's hurdles of where we need to take some type of assertive approach to then look at ourselves of what it is that we need to shift, change, modify, edit, however you want to look at it. There's many things that I apply, and the first thing is what I was mentioning is like the mind. The power of our mind is so strong, and something that changed my life that I learned from my teacher, Deborah, was energy follows thought. So what's happening in my life right now, yes, I have a so-called example, I have some stress with work. I'm not happy. I have a conflicting, you know, coworker that I have to deal with. And I don't, it's not like a choice that I can say, well, I'm not going to engage in that. I'm going to remove myself from that person. I have to deal back and forth with this person. So how can I change my mind? You know, so I like to play, you know, the so-called actress in Teresa's movie of life. And so for me not to take it so personally, because, you know, the beautiful four agreements that are there, it's, you know, don't, not to take it personally, but yet I am interacting with this person. This person treats me a certain way. It's like, how do I not engage or contribute to that conflictive or unhealthy relationship because I want to stand up? I want to, you know, kind of share with her, this is maybe a different approach to communicate. How can we resolve this? How can we work together? But maybe it's just not happening on that end. I'm interested, but it's not being receptive. So I need to change something in me so I can keep myself in more of a peaceful state because I understand the inside of me helps reflect the outside. So if I'm not, you know, calm and centered inside, then I'm not going to be able to really deal with the uncalmness and the chaos or the drama or the trauma outside. So my movie that I play in, sometimes I have said I don't even know about being nominated. I think I'm just going to win the top Grammy for my movie actress. And it's a part. It's a role. It's the script. Doesn't mean I have to take that script home. I don't have to be it. I'm just playing it. So it's just a little, you know, metaphor that I would say I'm just the actress in the movie. So I don't take it so personally because then there's an energetic component to it that energy is going to go into my body, into my chakras, and then I'm going to have to kind of, it's getting mixed up in my soup, so-called, you know, and it's not easy to remove an ingredient once I've, you know, allowed it into the mix. So it's just so-called, you know, playing the actress, the role, the part of the movie, so that I can step outside and begin to then observe how does Teresa feel when this person interacts with me that way? How does, you know, how could I give Teresa some compassion and say it will be okay, or let's give you a little empowerment, you know, kind of affirmations, or let's give you a little bit of encouragement that you're doing a good job instead of just being in it, as they say, continuing to add fire law or the logs to the fire, you know, to keep that fire burning. It's like, let me just observe the fire and I can still be part of it, but I don't have to, you know, put my energy into keeping that issue, that conflict, that problem going. And being detaching from the pain and the suffering is a really challenging thing. In your scenario, Amy, it's like when you lose someone, how do you detach from the pain and the suffering? It's like, I have to literally imagine myself being the witness looking at Teresa and holding love and compassion for her, but I don't need to take on the emotion, the energy of those emotions, because that's what's then going to drain me. And I want to just allow things to flow through me, because remember that prayer, I'm a channel, I'm a vessel. And so everything can come in and go right out. It's my choice if I choose to hold on to the emotions, to the struggles, to the pain, to the happiness, and to the joy. It's my choice because it's my body, it's my energy makeup, and it's my matrix, it's my data. You know, if we're a big computer, we have a choice of what we want to delete and save and guard for later. So it's a choice, and just learning a few things has been able to help me not take life struggles and pain so, like, personally involved. And
right.
It's a process to become
yeah.
more aware in the moment.
It is, absolutely. Now, we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to unmute her and see what question she's got for you. Here we are.
Okay.
Hello, who's on the line, please? Hello? Are you there still? She was on hold for a little while. I think she might have gone. Okay, never mind. So let's go on to the next one then. What would be your technique for breathing? Because I know that I have come to, you know, one of the very first things that happens when we get stressed is that our blood goes straight to our, it's a fight and flight mechanism. Our bloodstream goes straight to our muscles. And so what happens is we're in a shock situation. But the blood takes with it the oxygen to our muscles, and so we literally physiologically cannot think. So before we can think, we have to actually reoxygenize our blood. So what would be one of your breathing techniques that you could share with our listeners today to help us de-stress and think clearly?
Sure. Breath is life, and as we both know, the last breath of life is so sentimental before somebody passes. So how do we really appreciate breath? And I just feel breath is life, and life force comes through. There's such a beautiful, this natural intelligence that the body has, this amazing design that the body has. The Creator, you know, has gifted us to not have to think about breathing in new oxygen to support the heart, to feed the brain, to then, bring, vibrancy to all the organs, the glands, your system. And so we don't have to think about what it needs to do. But once we do realize that there's this breath that's coming in, new oxygen that's feeding to the heart, beginning to focus on your breath. Like, are you taking, smooth breaths? Are they short breaths? Because most people don't really focus on their breath. They're not using the full capacity of the lung. The lung has a lower part, a middle part, and an upper part, and we tend to have short breaths just using the middle to the upper. So as we begin to take nice, full, long breaths, now you think about getting more oxygen to the brain so we can think better and have more peace of mind. You're like, well, sure, I should start taking longer, fuller breaths. So, counting has been around for a long time. As they say, count before you respond in certain situations. Count to 10 before. So I think, a count of 6, inhale, and a count of 6 as you exhale, focusing on the lower part of the lung, the middle part of the lung, and then the upper lung. And then as you exhale, you're kind of, you're softening, and it's like making space for new energy that comes in. So that's a simple, inhale and exhale. And then I like to blend, and there's many forms of breathing techniques. And there's faster, slower for what the purpose is needed for you, to activate you, to inspire you, to invigorate you, or to help calm you, to relax you, to be more tranquil. And the more calming that we can do, it really supports the nervous system. And the nervous system is such a like an on button that, you know, we have so much going on in our life, and maybe the caffeine that we have, you know, that we need to keep going. So the nervous system needs to relax so that then those inner pathways energetically can then support the flow of this new oxygen that goes through the body, as well as that life force, that spiritual essence that flows through the body can feed nutrient, you know, light to the physical aspects of who we are in this maintaining body. So sometimes I like to, you know, guide in meditation of a simple inflow and outflow. And yet we need to invite more energy in because there's that automatic intelligence of what it does. But when we are conscious with something, we contribute to it. So it's a conscious breathing of inviting life force, the prana, the chi, the beautiful nature that's all around, into my lungs, into my heart center, so that I don't have to do it all on my own. And there's a part of, like, we ask and we shall be given. We have the universal laws of free will. So, you know, become more participating in your breath, in your activities, in your mindfulness of what we do, you know, in our life, so that we can, you know, invite more energy into the lungs. And then as you exhale, the body is releasing the carbon monoxide, what it no longer uses. So there's this natural intelligence. It doesn't need this oxygen. It's no good anymore. We are going to expel it out. So how does that reflect within our own, you know, life, you know, the emotions, the pains, the stresses? What doesn't need to be part of us and is no longer needed, we let that out. So I tend to, through the exhale, and I tend to use the inhale of new energy in and the exhale of releasing out the old. So each breath is like a conscious breath, in with new, out with old. And then I tie into what no longer serves me, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, I release as I exhale. Now I'm sending the signals to the rest of my body that it's okay to let go of those pains physically. It's okay to let go of the emotional stress that I have right now. It's okay to let go of that, the worry and the confusion or the fear, because that's the mind, those are the beliefs, and I'm exhaling those out. And there's energy follows thought, kind of begin to kind of overlay. You know, you're just sitting there enjoying something, of seeing some beautiful nature. You have a moment or two in between a call, or you're working, or even driving, and you begin to look at nature, and you breathe this nature in, and you're allowing yourself to be more natural as you tell your body, I release and I let go as I exhale. And the final breath should always be an uprising, upgrading, you know, bringing in something on a positive vibration of, you know, it's vibrant, it's healthy, it's happy, it's loving, self-loving, you know, to kind of take the place, because once you remove something, you want to always fill it in with a higher vibrational essence.
Nature abhors a vacuum, so we have to always fill it in with something higher, higher vibration.
Yes, because if you don't, the body's, because, you know, we're a makeup, we're like a sponge, we've been accumulation for such a long time, depending on how old you are, you know, we have a data of all of these experiences, and so I called it the so-called robot that, you know, I don't even have to think, Teresa just does and does because of her experiences. But when I become more aware, if I have, you know, removed something and I don't replace it with anything, then the body and that robot just fills it right back in with what was there before. It might not be that quick, but it's just the automatic. So it's very important when you release and you let go that you always kind of replace with something loving, supportive, encouraging, and empowering.
We see this so much with New Year's resolutions, don't we? We have this intention to start something new, but because we don't often support it in this context, mm-hmm. in a loving and supportive way, then we sort of morph back into what our habits from before.
Mm-hmm.
So I have another caller on the line. Let's see if we have luck this time getting through. Just a moment.
Okay.
Hello. I have a caller on the line ending in 8059. What is your name, please? Hello? not having much luck today, are we? 8059. If you are there, please say hello. If not, we'll just carry on. No, I don't think so. Okay. So one of our third point here, Teresa, was how to follow your passion with less mind and more heart. What would you recommend? How to follow your passion with less mind and more heart?
Well, the key to following our heart, you know, is something that I learned from my brother was, you know, to, you know, stop thinking and worrying about so much out there and tuning in and appreciating the little things. So how do we do that? We begin to tune into our heart through the senses, the emotions, what feels good, you know, of the passion. The passion is an inspiration. There's this beautiful happiness and joy that comes in, and you literally can feel it. When something feels good, you know, mm-hmm. this feels right. And when something kind of feels heavy, sticky, not so open, not so flowing, or a little resistance, then you know that that's like this natural intelligence that your body can give you. So having a mind-body connection is so key so that we can trust in our body, because we've been developed and functioning so much from our mind, which has the way that we've needed to do so much of our life. But as we become more in tune with our spiritual essence, with our true essence, we begin to learn to trust the intuition and the guidance from within. So a mind-body connection, so that you learn the signals that you create and you communicate, you love, and then you heal, and you open up and you become more of that vessel. And the breath techniques of breathing in new and out through the heart opens up and it clears that space to then allow you to function more from your heart, to sense from your heart, to feel from your heart, instead of thinking, what's the best thing I should do? Let me think about it. And then replacing that with, let me feel into that. How do I feel? Not like maybe through the whole body, but how does my heart feel? Does it feel open and soft, or does it feel heavy and tight? So learning to find these senses. And then you begin to create a relationship with the heart mind. There's an ego that the so-called robot of Teresa that wants to do, and it has its own agenda and it has its own perspective, but yet the heart and the spiritual component of Teresa, it's not in line with what the mind and the ego isn't aligned with. So the mind has to begin to trust in the heart and that spiritual part of myself. So it's creating a relationship with my mind, having communications and dialogue, saying, that doesn't really feel good when we do it like that. So how about next time we shift that and move in this direction? Or, you know, that's how I felt when this happened. And I begin, it's almost like having a conversation with a smaller child or another individual, so that I can create a relationship with my mind, because the mind is not that easy to let go and surrender to trust something that has not been in action. It's not been part of it's not been the chauffeur or the driver of the vehicle. And so it's not easy to switch seats for the mind, but you can create this loving relationship. Say, this is how I feel, but, you know, look at it from a different perspective. So that's a beautiful part of so-called meditation. You know, you bow your head and you just go to, you know, you just are breathing into your heart. You're just bowing your head to your heart so that the head can rest for a moment and pause. The busyness of the mind can just take a moment to relax and just breathe into the heart. So then you imagine connecting your head and your heart together and allowing the heart, you know, to then take, you know, the rein of the wheel for a little bit so that the mind can say, okay, do I trust this? Do I know if this is going to be all right? It's okay because it feels good right now. So there's a process of allowing the mind to let go and honor, you know, what the heart and the inner heart to come through to support us through our, you know, day-to-day. From moment to moment.
Well, we're almost out of time. I've only got a couple of minutes left. Gosh, just went by so quickly. So, Teresa, just share with the audience your website so people can come and check you out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have a website, Teresa D. For Denise is my middle initial, Martinez. TeresaDMartinez.com. I list there a variety of the services that I, you know, enjoy and passionately like to help others find their, you know, wellness and their spiritual, you know, guidance through my own journey of life of the last 15 years. It's been a long process, but it's been a beautiful exploration to find, you know, more health and happiness and wholeness. And so I love to share my journey with others. And those that might resonate with that, it's a beautiful connection that I have one-to-one, whether it's by phone and distant or in person. And I'm about to launch a teajournal.com. It's a blog. It's an inspirational blog that can then support those categories of our life, those aspects of the body, the mind, the heart, the spirit, and then, of course, my own journey as I travel about and I experience the beauty of life on this beautiful planet. And I'm so excited, Amy, that, you know, this blog was inspired while I was there with you, and it is the very first blog that I have out there. It's called English Beauty, England Beauties. And so when I promote this and publish this, there are some, you know, wonderful pictures of you and I sharing some time together in the Suffolk area. So it's such a unique way it all kind of comes around, and I haven't quite, put it out there, but now is the time to share.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for being there for me during this time as well. Quite a few conversations about this whole transition. So thank you so much. I would like to say a huge, enormous, wonderful thank you also to my mother, who really is the wind beneath my wings. And that's it. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Again, my name is Amy Hackett Jones. My website is amyhackettjones.com. You can find me all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. So thank you very much. Have a wonderful week, everybody, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Lots of love. Go well and shine your light. Bye. Bye-bye.
I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.